Well, good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. It is good to be back with you today. We were away the week before last, celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary. David, I'm grateful to God for your leadership of preaching in my absence, and thank God for you, my brother. While we were away, we worshiped at First Baptist Church of Hilton Head, South Carolina. Have you ever been in a place that you knew God had put you there for a certain reason? There was there in an interim time, and they had a pastor from Calgary speak. And what he had to say, I believe, was meant just for me. And all this week, I have been dialoguing with what he said and the text he had. And today, I want to bring that to you. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 20. And in the tradition of the early church, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, this is a very powerful story. It's told in all three of the Synoptic Gospels with a twist here or there of difference. But it's got something for each one of us today. So let's read and let's see what Word of God has for you and for me. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him, night and day among the tombs, and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted to the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Please allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Almighty God, may we take in this word of God. May we examine our lives. Give us Jesus. Bring about transformation. Give us a new us in a new year. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to take your bulletin, and on the inside of it, there's a place for you to take notes, and I have four things I want to say, and I want the first point that I make in the new year to be this. Jesus Christ can change your life. Jesus Christ can change your life. There is no person here today beyond hope. There is no person beyond the healing touch of Jesus Christ. You see, this man in this story lived among the dead, and he was all but dead. He was all alone, alienated from all family and friends. He was out of control. He possessed superhuman strength. No one could constrain him. Not even chains could subdue him. Night and day he would cry out. He would cut himself with stones. He was possessed. He was demon possessed, and they were many. When Jesus asked him his name, he told Jesus, "My name is Legion." Now, a legion denotes a military unit of approximately 6,000 troops. In effect, he was saying, "I'm overwhelmed with demons. They're overwhelming my life. There's not one, but there are thousands in me." Now, imagine the havoc that such demon possession has on a person's life. He was pitiful. Now, this demoniac tried to get the upper hand on Jesus. But as the story reveals, Jesus was superior to demonic powers. Jesus knew the demons by name and demanded them to come out of this man, and they did. Jesus permitted them to go into the pigs, about 2,000 in number. And when they did, the pigs rushed down the embankment into a lake and were drowned. And when the pig owners raced into town and told the citizens what had happened, many came out. And what did they see? They saw a man sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Jesus changed this man's life. And he can change your life. He can transform lives. This is what we need today. Many of us are in a cycle. Many of us have never crossed over from death to life. I say here today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, your life can be changed today. If this man's life could be brought to normality, look at what God could do in your life. Jesus can change your life. The second thing I want to say is this. One person is never a waste. One person is never a waste. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he was gaining momentum. We read over and over again in the Gospel of Mark things like this. The whole town gathered to see Jesus. In another instance, we read that Jesus entered the city and the crowds were so large in numbers that there was no room left. On one occasion, he was beside the lake and large crowds gathered around him. I think you get the point. Crowds, crowds, crowds everywhere. He's gathering momentum, and then he decides to do something very curious. He gets into a boat with his disciples, and he crosses over to the other side of the lake into Gentile territory, specifically the Decapolis, a federation of 10 Gentile cities east of Samaria and Galilee, across the Jordan. And there he encounters not the crowds, but he encounters one man. He encounters one man and a demon-possessed man at that, who is all alone. Now, may I raise a question? Isn't Jesus getting off task? Possibly going to lose the momentum he had been building? Was this a bad call by Jesus to get into a boat and to go across the lake to Gentile territory? To meet one demented man who everybody had left alone because he was hopeless? I think not. For if you read the Gospel of Mark, you will discover in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, that Jesus heals a Jewish man. And now in chapter 5, Jesus goes out of his way to heal a Gentile man to show that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not for one race, not for one nationality, but Jesus Christ is meant for the world. He also showed that he cared for persons, that people mattered, specifically an individual mattered, even one that everyone else had given up on. I tell you, one person is never a waste. Dr. Ralph Lazzaro was an intimate friend, close companion of Dr. Joel Gregory. On one occasion, Dr. Lazzaro told this story to Dr. Joel Gregory. Dr. Ralph Lazzaro taught at Harvard Divinity School. He lived in a beautiful family estate in the charming coastal village of Marblehead, Massachusetts. His home was filled with antiques and artwork and fine furnishings. One of his favorite collections was an extensive antique set of Demitas cups. Dr. Lazzaro had a ritual. He would invite first-year students into his home. He would also invite a few chosen second-year seminary students there to help him host. Now, many of the students who came to Harvard were from small rural towns. Many of them grew up with very limited means. So when they walked into Dr. Lazzaro's home, they were overwhelmed with the furnishings. They became very nervous. During the course of one such event, an extremely nervous young student from a small town accidentally dropped her Demitas cup. It crashed to the floor, smattering to pieces. All of the students sat frozen, horrified. The room was filled with an uncomfortable silence. Without a moment's hesitation, Dr. Lazzaro took his Demitas cup and hurled it into the fireplace, announcing, "I am so glad today to announce that we are starting a new Lazzaro family tradition of breaking the cup." Dr. Lazzaro gave a sharp glance to some of the second-year students, which prompted them to take their cups and to hurl them into the fireplace, confident that they were participating in a strange New England tradition. When the second-year students later asked Dr. Lazzaro what had just happened, he replied, and I quote, "Those cups are valuable, but not nearly as valuable as a person's spirit. I hope there is nothing I own or ever hope to own that would not be worth breaking in order to redeem a person's spirit." One person is never a waste. Every person matters. And might I add this? Since we are about the business of our Lord, the ministry of our Lord of transformation, we replicate what we celebrate. We replicate what we celebrate. Tell me what you're celebrating, and I can tell you who you are. What if we came into this place every Sunday so anticipatory that God is going to do a work of transformation, of healing, of someone crossing over from death to life, of marriages being restored, of people receiving the calling and standing up and saying, count me, I'm all in for Jesus Christ. We replicate what we celebrate. The third thing I want to say is this. This text teaches me this. Don't just hang out with Jesus. Do something for Jesus. Just don't hang out with Jesus. Do something for Jesus. Now, when this demon-possessed man was healed, he begged Jesus to allow him to get into the boat with Jesus and his disciples. He wanted nothing more than to hang out with Jesus, to have fellowship with him, to sit in the boat at his feet and to listen at him and to soak it all up. That's understandable, isn't it? I mean, his life had been radically transformed, but Jesus said categorically no. Jesus wanted him to do something for him. Think about it. This man had just recently been restored. There had to be a fragility even then about him to go from one extreme to the other, and yet Jesus immediately placed him on mission. Immediately placed him on mission. Please listen closely. You're not simply a cup to be filled up. You're a pitcher to be poured out. You're not simply a cup to say, fill me up, give me something, I'm hurting. No! We are to be filled up and poured out in the name of Jesus for the transformation of this world. Just don't hang out with Jesus. Do something for Jesus. And lastly, you're meant to have an impact. That is, you're meant to leave a legacy. You're meant to have an impact. You're meant to leave a legacy. Now, Jesus commissioned this man. He said, go home to your own people. Go home to your family. And tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on him. And the text continues. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Now, later on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus goes on mission to Gentile territory. And he travels straight, directly through the middle of the Decapolis, those 10 cities. Matthew 14, 34 through 36 captures some of that journey. Let me read it. When they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who were touched were healed. Now, notice the difference. When Jesus healed this man, the crowds from the Decapolis were fearful. They pled with Jesus to leave their region. But when Jesus later returned to this region, and when they discovered that it was Jesus who was there, they, the people of the Decapolis, overwhelmingly embraced him. They received him without any hesitation. Why? I believe that this healed man, this former demented, demoniac, filled with multitude of demons who God had transformed, blazed the way for Jesus. He was a Gentile, John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. His life was living evidence that Jesus had transformed his life. We're meant to have an impact. Never a retirement time in God's economy. And may I say this? If you look around, we are an older church. And I love older people because I'm one of them. We stand poised to reach all generations for Jesus Christ, because so many of us have had such long and deep and vibrant walks with Jesus. This is not a time to pull in and protect. This is not a time to see merely how many times I can be away from here and do things I want to do. This is the time for us to pull together with all these years of walking with Jesus Christ and with so many people who have not a clue what it means to be a disciple. They need you. They need us. Reaching out and inviting them. Have you ever heard of Plow Sunday? In Britain, there's a tradition which dates back to the 15th century, which calls this Sunday and this Monday the Sunday that follows Epiphany, Plow Sunday, and Plow Monday. Yesterday, Christians throughout the world celebrated Epiphany. In the Christian calendar, Epiphany follows the Christmas season, the day of Christmas and the 12 days that follow, and then January the 6th comes Epiphany. It marks the end of Jesus' birthday celebration, and it marks a new era in Christian history in which God's promises are extended not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile as well, as we see in this story today. This Plow Sunday stems from the fact that since the celebration of Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas celebration, it's time now to get back to work. It's time to plow back into a workaday world. It's time to put one's shoulder to the plow, and it's time to plow forward into a new year and to a new season. It's time to put our shoulder to the plow and to do something. To do something for Jesus, because how he has transformed us from the inside out. We've got work to do. So where's your work? Where is your work? And where's my work? Let's get to it. And never forget that what this good book teaches and what our Lord lives ever before us is that the best is yet to come. Almighty God, Almighty God, thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for making each one of us unique, each one important, each one in need of your touch. And Lord, for so long we've hung around you, but we've not been as good about doing something for you in light of having hung around you in intimate communion. So Lord, today as we begin this new year, this plow Sunday, in which a new era has dawned. Who is this Jesus? What does he want us to do for him? Oh, may we be found faithful. May it just not be the beginning of another year, but may it be a new year with a new us, with a new vision, believing that the best is yet to come. We pray this in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Please don't reach for your hymnal yet. I know, as a matter of fact, there's someone here today who needs to invite Jesus into his heart or her heart. I want to invite you, when you hear the first note that Carolyn and Rick will play, for you to get up out of your seat, whether you're in the balcony, the choir, the main floor, and you come down and take David or my hand and say, I want Jesus and I want him now. You may have already made that decision for him. You just need prompting. I want to ask you to stand tall for Jesus Christ right now. To become a believer, you admit that you're a sinner. You ask Jesus to forgive you. You invite him to come into your life. That is the beginning. It's simple, but it's powerful, and it lasts for eternity. And once you become a child of God, you are always a child of God. So do not hesitate. And secondly, I want to invite all believers to look deeply within your life and to examine your life in light of this scripture and this message and this worship. And to say, am I willing and am I ready to put my shoulder to the plow and do something for Jesus? And then thirdly, there are so many who have visited. And you know, you feel this is the church for you. This is the first Sunday of the new year. Let's begin by making that step of church membership. Let's stand now and sing our hymn of invitation.